Excuse me, sir.
No excuses this time, laddie. And now Springbok Radio invites you to lean back, put your feet up, and spend the next half hour with the Bowler, Briefcase, and Brawny Brigade.
The bed's up the very street.
Today in the General Assistance Department, we find Secretary Mildred Murphin in popular demand.
Oh, Mildred.
Yes, Mr. Lamb.
Will you do something for me?
Oh, well, I hope it's not what Mr. Lennox Brown asked me to do for him yesterday. I thought it was a bit much.
Why, Mildred? What did he want?
And him a married man, too. Fancy asking me. That's what wives are for, isn't it?
What, Mildred?
Mending holes in socks. I'm a secretary typist. I am not a sock hole mender. The things I'm expected to do round here, I don't know.
Well, actually, Mildred, what I wanted was...
Well, go on, Mr. Lamb.
Well, it isn't something I'd expect you to do for everybody.
Mr. Lamb, you're driving me crazy. What is it?
Could you... Would you lend me 50 pence until payday?
What, again? I don't know what you do with your thingy. Your money.
Oh, well, it's this inflation. Everything's going up. My chocky-wocky bars cost twice as much as they did last year. Please, Mildred.
I don't know whether I should.
Oh, come on, Mildred, you're my only hope.
I'm not sure whether I've got it.
Well, of course you've got it. I can tell by the way you're clutching onto your handbag. Now, come on, Mildred, before I look for myself.
No, Mr. Lamb, don't. You mustn't.
Mr. Lamb, you must be. Well, what's going on here? Playing chase with Charlie around the desks at this time of morning?
Mildred's being rather difficult, number one. She won't come across.
Oh, well, that's her business, isn't it?
No, not altogether. It's a matter of life and death to me.
Is it? Well, perhaps it's time you went for another medical checkup.
I don't want a medical checkup. I want 50 pence until payday.
Oh, I see. Number two, I think my views on borrowing and lending are very well known.
Yes, number one.
I will not permit it in any circumstances. Understood?
Yes, number one.
Tea, please, Mildred.
There isn't any. We've run out.
What do you mean, run out?
Now, for heaven's sake, go next door and borrow some.
All right. Tea, get some energy. Just get some.
But you told Mildred to borrow some. Number one, that's unfair. Why can you borrow if I can't?
Because there are matters of life and death and matters of life and death. And this is a matter of life and death.
Yeah, but what about mine? If I had 50 pence, I could make a lot of money.
Oh, number two, really, this is getting out of hand. Now, don't tell me you're borrowing money so that you can gamble with it.
Oh, no, this isn't gambling. I never gamble. I mean, it isn't gambling if you can't lose it, is it?
That's the feeble sort of excuse I'd expect. Can't lose?
Absolutely not.
What is it, of course?
Yes? Bilious is in the 3 o'clock at Ascot on Saturday.
Did you say Bilious?
That's right, Billy's.
Billy's couldn't win that race if it started yesterday. He's only got 3 good legs.
Well, I have it on the best authority that Billy's could beat this field on 2 bad legs.
Which very best authority?
Mrs. Bratsby.
Your landlady?
Yes. You see, her nephew lives next door to a woman whose aunt knows a girl who's engaged to a man who collects the rent only 3 doors away from the stable boy who looks after Billy's.
I see. And this information comes from the stable boy?
No, from the rent collector. Mrs. Bratsby says he knows everything about racing. He backs all the winners.
Why is he still a rent collector?
Well, she didn't mention that.
Billy's, eh? Well, it can't be less than 100 to 1.
Exactly. And that means I'd be getting £50 for my 50 pence.
What do you mean you'd be getting? If I'm going to lend you 50 pence, I'd expect a small share of the winnings, you know.
Oh, I say, number one, will you really lend me the money? What share would you want?
Oh, well, something quite nominal, about 50%.
50%? Mm-hmm. What a nice chap you are, number one. I don't know how Mildred can go around saying that you're a miserly old skinflint.
Oh, she does she? I must have a few words with that girl. On what grounds has she possibly got for saying that I'm a mean and miserly and... General Assistance Department, Lennox Brown, grasping.
Virginia, grasping at what, Lennox Brown? Straws?
No, not grasping, Sir Gregory. Gasping at the brilliant thinking behind your memo. The vision, the whole bold imaginative concept, the vastness of it staggers me. The possibilities...
Lennox Brown?
Yes, Sir Gregory?
I haven't sent you a memo.
Oh, haven't you? Still, I bet it'll be a jolly good one when you do.
Lennox Brown, shut up. The Ministry of Agriculture people have got a job for you.
Oh, splendid, Sir Gregory. We've worked with them before, I recall.
Yes, I recall it too.
Something to do with increasing the potato crop, wasn't it?
It was. The potato farmers too refer in hushed tones to Lennox Brown's blight. Those who are still in business, that is. The lucky ones got out before the potato famine.
Oh. And what will we be doing for the Ministry of Ag and Fish this time, Sir Gregory?
Making it rain.
Making it rain? But don't we get enough?
Not when it's required, apparently. The agricultural people have been working with scientists to find a way of making rain whenever and wherever they want it. And now they're ready for the final experiments. The ministers call for a couple of neutral observers.
Us, you mean, Sir Gregory?
I thought you two would be ideal, Lennox Brown. There couldn't be anyone more neutral. And you've always got your heads in the clouds anyway, haven't you?
Oh, thank you very much, Sir Gregory.
Don't mention it. Now, don't make a muck of this, Lennox Brown. We'll be working very closely with Dr. somebody or other on this.
Which doctor?
No, I don't think he is. He's a doctor of science, I believe. Ring the ag and fish people and they'll tell you all about him. Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye, Sir Gregory, and do give my very best regards to your old ag. I mean, hello. Oh, dear, seem to be cut off again.
Well, what was all that about, number one?
You've got to help the Ministry of Agriculture to make it rain.
Oh, nothing to it. All you have to do is arrange a royal garden party, and then it pours.
Yes, well, that's all very well, number two, but the royals might object to being trotted about all over the country getting damp at garden parties. Besides, it might clash with the show jumping season. Now, number two, you better slip along to Ag and Fish and find out more about this rainmaking business.
Oh, aren't you coming?
What? Before Mildred's brought the tea.
Yeah, but what about mine?
Don't worry, number two. I'll drink it for you.
Oh, that's all right then. Goodbye, number one.
Bye.
See you later.
Now, let's have a look. Bilious. That horse, Bilious. Eh? Let's see now. Pound each way at 101. Anything to come. Each way, throw it up. Anything to come. All on feeling better. Anything to come. Anything to come. Book passage to Bermuda. Question is, where do I find another pound each way when I've lent number two 50 pence?
Excuse me.
Oh, yes?
Is this the General Assistance Department?
It is indeed, yes.
I've called Lennox Brown work here, does he?
I am Lennox Brown, and I'm the head of the department.
This is the geese that said, come on in.
Right on, but shall I do him now?
No, see here.
I've told you before, Sidney, you can't go around doing people.
No, I should say not.
Not till I say so, anyway.
But what on earth are you expecting? Really, what?
You've got the galloping hiccups there, have you? Well, I'm not surprised. A lot of my clients get took that way.
But who are you?
I'm Humbert Snetherthwaite, sometimes known as Humbert the Hitman.
Oh.
And I've come to collect an account on behalf of one of my business associates.
Oh. Which one?
Honest Herbert Higgs, the people's friend. You know him?
Well, yes. Yes, I do.
Honest Herbert, the bookie what never owes. And what never lets anyone owes him.
Oh, yes, well, it's a trifling matter of the...
A pony.
A what?
Pony.
No, it was a horse. It was a big ugly brute he was, too, and fell over himself at the last furlong. And if he knew...
A pony, 25 pounds. And Honest Herbert says, pay up or else. Got the message?
Oh, yeah. Excuse me a minute, will you? yes, and I... I nearly got washed away, too. Now, tell me about this trifling debt.
A pony.
Possibly. Kindly inform Mr. Higgs that I write him a check tomorrow.
How are you going to do that with your arms in plaster?
But my arms are not in plaster.
They will be by tomorrow. All right, Sid.
All right, I'll meet nobody around. Who's going to do the carving? You or me?
What do you mean, carving me?
He does a nice lining, shiving, does Sid. Yeah. Used to be in the tattooing business. Righto, Sid. Give him £25 worth.
Righto, Mr. Lennox Brown, see.
Oh, blimey, come on, Sid, out of it.
Oh, Mildred. Mildred,
thank goodness you've arrived just in time.
Dear.
What have you brought with you, the anti-riot squad?
No, Mr. Lennox Brown, I've brought that tea you sent me out to borrow.
I'd like you to meet the man who knows all about our little project, Professor Phenomenal.
Professor Phenomenal, if you don't mind.
Oh, yes, my mistake. I'm always making it. Well, I'll leave you to it then. See you later.
So, Mr. Lum, you're the observationist at the final trials of Crump, are you?
Crump?
Yes, cloud, rain, and misproduction. As the observationist, you should be acquainted with a few elementary principles.
Well, of course, I have a working knowledge of the subject.
All right. Where from?
Well, I read all about it this morning on the back of my crunchy wunchy packet.
Well, that's a bit condensicated, of course. Yes.
Of course.
Now, to explain in simple language, a handful of these particles has to be projecturated into the upper cumulus at the precise moment when the conglomerostrate can be absorbalized into the atme phoristical surroundment, you see? Are you with me?
Absolutely. What you mean is that you chuck this stuff into the sky?
Precisely, I will.
That's what it said on my crunchy munchy packet.
I know, I wrote it. Do you know what happens next?
No, I only buy one packet at a time.
Well, when these particles have been absorbalized, there occurs a transmogrification of the subdurated polytract. This in turn leads to a calciflamboyancy of the nimbiolasterized layer. Then guess what happens?
It rains.
Aye! You're very fast on the uptake, you are, little love.
Oh, thank you. Well, I owe it all to you and Crunchy Munchy.
Ask Mr. Sparrow to come, please. Mr. Sparrow is the daredevil of our little band of boffins.
Yeah.
Some of us, unfortunately, must remain tied to our desks, but not Mr. Sparrow. There's no clipping his wings. Wait until you meet this dynamic man.
Did you want me?
Here he is. Cyril Sparrow, Richard Lump.
Oh, well, how lovely to meet you. Oh, I have to say, you do look nice and pinstriped.
Well, Cyril will tell you exactly what you're going to be doing together, so I'll leave you to it. Goodbye, Mr. Lump. I assure you, Mr. Lump, you'll find yourself in very good hands.
Not if I can help it. Look, can't you keep him tied to his debts?
Oh, Richard, aren't we going to have fun? There we'll be, soaring aloft together.
What do you mean, soaring? Look, I know your name is Sparrow, but I...
Oh, no, you mustn't use my surname, Richard. You must call me Cyril.
Well, all right, Sybil.
Cyril!
Tell me, Cyril, what did you mean about soaring?
Well, you don't think these rain-making crystals fly their own plane up there and jump out, do you?
No, but I still don't
know. I'm a licensed pilot. Daredevil Sparrow, they call me. When I'm up there, oh, I'm inspired.
But what am I going to be doing up there?
Well, you're the observer, aren't you? How are you going to observe anything if you aren't there? Besides, you'll have to carry the crystals out.
Carry them out?
But of course, by parachute.
What?
Then you can distribute them evenly, you see. I mean, I can't very well jump out when I'm piloting the plane.
No, look here. I don't want to go. Help, I'm not going to go. I'll get out of
it. Aye, it's all fixed. Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Here's your flight scheduling.
Oh, lovely.
Then wait a minute. I can't pilot. Mr. Lennox Brown.
Oh, he's in the map cupboard. There's someone after him.
He's not the only one.
Whom but the hitman was here. What a killer he is.
Oh, just wait till you see Cyril the Sparrow.
Oh, it's you, number two. Or is it? You're not Humbert the hitman in disguise, are you?
No, I'm not.
Oh, thank goodness for that, number two. Look, I'm in danger, and it's all your fault.
Mine? Why?
Only Bilious could have saved me from being coshed, shivved, and carved. But look what it says about him in the Turf Goers Weekly. Just look at this. Bilious, 14-year-old black gelding. 14! Well, the rest are 3-year-olds.
Well, what's wrong with that? He's running against a bunch of kids. What else does it say about him?
Well, just listen to this. Unplaced this season in 29 outings. Bad-tempered, moody, and usually dwells in the stalls. Weak in the forelegs and unsound behind.
Unsound behind? What's that got to do with it?
It means that his hindquarters aren't what they should be.
Ah. Anything else?
What else can he have, except maybe no room for a saddle?
Does this mean you don't think he can win?
Not necessarily. All the other runners might be scratched. But there's this here. Just listen to this. A mudlark acts only in heavy going. It shouldn't be called bilious. Flooded bilges would be better.
But number one, if all he needs is rain, we're home and dry.
Say that again, number two, but slowly.
Mr. Sparrow is taking me flying on Saturday.
Mr. Sparrow is taking you flying.
Yes.
Number two, you've been reading too many nursery stories. I suppose Mr. Porker's taking you for a piggyback ride too, is he?
No, number one, you don't understand. Here's my flight scheduling. I'm going to disperse particles into the upper convolutus so that conglostomorates can be absorbed into the atmospherestical surroundment, and it makes it rain, you see.
Number two, does Noddy know about all this? Just wait a minute. This rainmaking, why don't you make it rain at Ascot just before the race?
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, I usually manage to come up with a solution, don't I? Oh, genius will out.
What are you talking about? This is my idea.
Great minds think alike, remember, but some of them think a little quicker. Yeah. Why, say, isn't it silly looking forward to a wet weekend?
Right, 9-4 Arlay, 9-4 Barley Mow, 7-2 Little Willie, 6-1 Bar. Any more for any more? Who else wants to make a killing? Oh, how about you, sir?
No, thank you. I've got Bilious.
You've got to watch the grub they serve up here. It's not that I want to pry, like, but what are you dressed up for?
Hmm?
Oil skin, sou'wester, and fisherman's boots? You advertising sardines or something?
No. Just prepared in case it rains, you know.
Rain?
Mm-hmm.
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Come off it, mate. There'll be no rain today, no chance.
Well, of course, that's your opinion. My view is entirely the opposite. Quite entirely the opposite.
Right, Richard, no chafing up, eh? These parachute straps can be very hard on the shoulder.
That's not all they're hard on.
Now make sure that you've got everything you need. Air sickness pills, rain-making crystals. Mustn't forget those, must be. And have you got your goggles?
Also got the boggles. You don't really want me to get out there.
All right. Here we go, then. Up, up, and away!
Thank you.
Have a good afternoon, Sir Gregory.
I'm sorry, whatever you're selling at. Good heavens, is it Lennox Brown?
Yes, it is, Sir Gregory.
It's extraordinary. You look as if you're ready to man the lifeboat. Have you backed anything?
Oh, yes, Sir Gregory. Bilious.
Bilious? Yeah, I'll tell you the one you should have backed.
And what's that, Sir Gregory?
Not cash. Not that that's got any better chance than Bilious. Dainty Dolly. Dainty Dolly will win the race bush all over.
Ah, well, we'll see, Sir Gregory. I think it must be nearly time they were off, too.
Yes, any moment now. I hear they're trying out a new announcement in this race.
Your attention, please, kindly, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, this must be the new chap now. Yes.
Greetings and salutations from your newly announcing fellow, Rampatha Hari by Punilavi Mukherjee. The horse is by the postie, and very, very jolly at dawn. That splendid one chap at the postie is saying, go, and they are going. While you are waiting, perhaps I can be telling you one mighty funny thing that has happened to my niece on my way to the racing course. What is happening? That man by the pointy has said, go, and they are coming mightily fast. Over by this one side, I am seeing Dainty Dolly, and the little chappie who is sitting by his top side is wearing one pretty green shirty with gold stripes.
Look at that. Dainty Dolly, way out in front. What was it you back, let it down?
Bilious. Come along, Bilious. Come along, number two.
You've got it wrong. Bilious is number 14.
I know, but I've got high hopes of number two. Very high hopes.
Oh, forget it, Lennox Brown. Nothing has a chance against Dainty Dolly. No good looking down the track. You might just as well watch an aeroplane. By George, look, something just fell out. It's a parachute. Look at him coming down through the clouds.
Hooray, it's number two. Now then, Bilious.
And here is the news read by Mortimer Thrip. There were amazing scenes at Ascot on Saturday afternoon when the racecourse was hit by the most remarkable cloudburst ever known in Britain. 12 inches of rain fell in 3 minutes. This led to a remarkable incident during the running of the 3 o'clock race. The 14-year-old Bilious, coming with a tremendous late run, took the lead from Dainty Dolly 50 yards from the post, but was then enveloped in a parachute. The horse, the jockey, and a mystery man wearing a flying helmet surmounted by a bowler hat swam to safety after the rest of the field had passed by. The winner was Nutcase, who finished with a powerful butterfly stroke to get the verdict.
Well, that's enough of that, number two. Now for the share-out.
Share-out? Well, how can there be a share-out when Bilious didn't even finish?
No, I didn't win this on the race. This was another bet.
On another race?
Mm-mm, no. The bookie gave me £50 to 1 that it wouldn't rain. There you are. There's your half, and there's my half.
But your half's bigger than my half.
Let us have no arguments, number two.
Wait a minute, gents. I take both halves. And everybody will be up here, including Honest Sherbert Higgins. Ta-da, gents. See you at the race.
No, you can't possibly do that. I mean, that's not fair, is it?
Well, it was nice to look at, anyway.
Mildred!
Yes, Mr. Lennox Brown and Mr. Lamb.
Do you think you could lend us 50 pence each till payday?
The men from the ministry tonight were John Simpson and Roger Service, also in the mud, were Maureen Adair, Tommy Reed, Tom Meehan, and Brian Squires.
Tonight's script was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Brian Squires. Join the whole mad bunch at the same time next week for another romp down the corridors of power with the men from the ministry. Thank you.